portion of scripture that we wish to consider tonight, you can find in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15. We'll read the entire chapter. Let's hear the word of the Lord. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. How in destruction are before the Lord, how much more than the hearts of the children of men? A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. The way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? The way of life is above to the wise, but he may depart from hell beneath. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So ends our reading of God's word. Dear congregation, we've come in our study of the Heidelberg Catechism to Lord's Day 36. The first consideration of the third commandment, you know that the third commandment says that we shall not, or thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And we often think of this as a negative command and consider how it prohibits cursing, swearing, abusing the name of God. But we also need to realize and learn what it requires. And the question of question 99 asks, what is required? And let's read that together now. Question 99, what is required in the third commandment? That we, not only by cursing or perjury, but also by rash swearing, must not profane or abuse the name of God, nor by silence or connivance be partakers of these horrible sins in others. And briefly, that we use the holy name of God no otherwise than with fear and reverence, so that he may be rightly confessed and worshipped by us, and be glorified in all our words and works. Question 100. Is then the profaning of God's name by swearing and cursing so heinous a sin that his wrath is kindled against those who do not endeavor, as much as in them lies, to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing? Answer, undoubtedly it is. It undoubtedly is. For there is no sin greater or more provoking to God than the profaning of his name. And therefore he has commanded this sin to be punished with death. Today we want to consider just that one phrase in the answer to question 99, that in our words God would be glorified, or what is required, that we glorify God in all our words. And that'll be our focus tonight. And then next week, we hope to take the broader concept of Lord's Day 36 along with Lord's Day 37. But we'll do this tonight then through the words of Proverbs 15, verse 4a. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. And that'll form our umbrella text for tonight's message. But as the book of Proverbs is, yes, one that discusses the tongue much. You notice that as we read this chapter, the tongue, the mouth, words is a large part of this chapter. Proverbs also, as a book and as these verses come to us, often come as general principles that summarize much of Scripture. So as we go through our text tonight, we'll be referring to many passages concerning the tongue, as it were, to build a scriptural understanding of what a wholesome tongue would sound like. And so our theme is, a healthy tongue glorifies God. And we'll consider this under two thoughts: the nine sounds of a healthy tongue, and secondly, the one source of a healthy tongue. Our text says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. In other words, a healthy tongue is one that builds up the health even of those around it. A healthy tongue brings blessing to others. It brings growth to others. It bears good fruit. It edifies. And so even as we consider these nine sounds now, I trust you'll realize that each of these sounds leads to blessing. The first sound is, a healthy tongue is a worshiping tongue. In a sense, all of our tongues worship something. And the question that comes to us tonight is what? The psalmist says in Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. He says, this is what's going to fill my life. This is what's going to fill my mouth. This is how my tongue's going to worship. Because this is who God is, I will bless the Lord. I will bless the covenant Lord. I will bless His faithfulness. You go through the psalm. I will bless His mercy. I will bless His character. This is what's going to fill my mouth. And then notice the psalmist says, I will worship at all times. The praise of the Lord is going to fill my mouth at all times. All times. Does your tongue, does my tongue worship God at all times? Think of it just in a personal way. Does your tongue worship God when you have a toothache? When you're lonely? When your car breaks down? Now, these might seem like superficial examples, but think of it this way. It's when we are in what we think of as our moments of personal need, is our tongue still going to be worshiping God? Because what does Jesus do in John 17? Jesus is coming to the moment of his greatest need, and his prayer is, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. And yes, it was spiritual anguish, but there's physical anguish, physical pain too. And yet in that time, he wanted to glorify the Father. And when our tongue is a worshiping tongue, what's the fruit of the blessing of that? Well, Psalm 34 continues, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. When your tongue worships the Lord, other of the Lord's children hear it and are glad. Praise fills their minds, their hearts, their mouths as well. And they're glad because God has worked. They're glad because God's being praised. They're glad because God's faithfulness, His righteousness is on display. One worshiping tongue brings joy to the humble. Secondly, the healthy tongue is a silent tongue. Proverbs 10, verse 19 says, he that refraineth his lips is wise. Maybe you're thinking, what kind of a sound is silence? But silence can say many things. Spiritually, the healthy tongue knows that it has no excuse before God. It was Dr. Lloyd-Jones who once said, people need to have their mouths stopped shut. You do not become a Christian until your mouth is stopped, it's shut, and you're speechless before God and you have nothing to say. In light of this morning, we could say, you're quiet, you're silent because you know your own unrighteousness. Your righteousness has imploded. Relationally, the healthy tongue is sometimes silent because it allows the ears to work. Good listeners can be much better friends than compulsive talkers. And silence sometimes shows wisdom. Remember the woman of Canaan? She came to Jesus in Matthew 15 crying out for mercy. Crying. And Jesus remained silent. Didn't answer her. We might wonder why. Jesus helped people so quickly, and here he's silent. But his silence in this occasion reveals his wisdom, his love in drawing this woman out. Because at the end of that narrative, we read Jesus' commendation of her, woman, great is thy faith. He was loving in deed and truth. And today, he that refraineth his lips is still wise. And what's the blessing there? Well, Proverbs 10 tells us In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. So purposeful silence can fight sin. We need to learn then sometimes to be silent. Yes, sometimes there's things that need to be addressed. But sometimes being intentionally silent in public means your words have a lot more weight when they're addressed in private. Let's be wise with our words and wise with our silence. Third, the healthy tongue is an appreciative tongue. Psalm 51, verse 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy name, thy praise. This teaches us that the healthy tongue is appreciative to God for salvation. Recall the miracle of the 10 lepers. Jesus healed the 10 lepers, and they walked away, and one turned around to give thanks. But it was also this appreciative one who received the additional blessings. And expressing our appreciation to God helps us today keep perspective. It helps us to be thankful for what we get. It stops us from desiring things that we shouldn't even be desiring. And expressing that appreciation is healthy. Even Christ expressed appreciation to the Father. Matthew 11. Father, I thank thee because thou hast revealed these things to babes. We need to express appreciation for what we realize as God's blessings to us. We need to express appreciation even to other people. We all like to feel appreciated, but have we learned to express that to others, for others? In a month, we'll set aside one day as Thanksgiving Day to God, for the gifts of God. You know, throughout the year, we set aside one day for mothers, one day for fathers, even one day for secretaries. But when have we learned in our daily lives to live with tongues of appreciation? Paul tells the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Acknowledge the people in your life who refresh you. And today, that means for us, an appreciative tongue looks for things to be thankful for. You can think of it this way. There's a garden. You know, above the garden fly the birds, and the raven flies by the garden, and the hummingbird flies by the garden. They're flying over the same garden. But the raven's going to find something that's decaying, and he's going to go down and he's going to scavenge. The hummingbird's going to find a beautiful flower and just take it all in. We can be ravens, or we can be hummingbirds. Let's learn to be beautiful, encouraging, appreciative. Fourthly, the healthy tongue is a clean tongue. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Nothing corrupt to come out. You look around at the world and society is so concerned with pollution. We try to solve water pollution and air pollution and soil pollution and blood pollution. But how concerned are we with sound wave pollution? As Christ himself said, it's what comes out of the mouth of man that defiles him. We need to consider the cleanliness, the appropriateness of our speech. The third commandment says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. To misuse God's name is one thing that the Lord says. He will not hold him guiltless who does this. It's punishable by death. And it's not just saying those names or those letters improperly. It's whenever we misrepresent him with our words. Sudden pain is no excuse for bad words. Consider again the Lord Jesus Christ. On the cross, in agony, at the point of death, and what is his prayer? One that reflects the Father. Father, forgive them. A clean tongue respects God, represents God, shows respect for things as well. A clean tongue regards all things highly and purely and focuses on the good and the beautiful. A clean tongue means we speak reverently. We keep holy things holy. We keep even personal things personal and significant things significant. And what's the fruit of such a tongue? Paul says to the Ephesians, same chapter, the rest of the verse, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. A clean tongue blesses others by using God's gift of communication with care and creativity and control. God's given you a tongue. Are you using it? It's a talent, a gift, a resource he's given you. Are you speaking clearly, concisely? Clean language. Demonstrating self-control, respect, maturity. Yes, even when you hit your hand with a hammer or step on a nail or whatever else. Fifthly, the healthy tongue is a witnessing tongue. A clean tongue's already witnessing because in today's world it's such a rarity. But God wants the healthy tongue also not just to be clean, but it has to witness of him. So Peter says, 1 Peter 3, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. This verse highlights a number of aspects of a witnessing tongue. The witnessing tongue is prepared. It has the Lord in its heart. It's prepared by being ready to give the answer about your hope, but also tells you how to use it. You're to speak, use your tongue with meekness and fear, that is gentleness and respect. But it also tells you then what the content of that witnessing ought to be. It is the hope that's in you. And why hope? In this dark world, what gives you hope? Believers must be a witness to unbelievers about redemption in Christ, forgiveness of sins, the truth of the word, the goodness and the beauty and the glory of the triune God. It must be a witness of eternity and eternal truths. It must witness of his righteousness. Because we realize, Christians ought to realize that that is their only hope. And it's hope then that becomes the blessing that's shared Christ gave hope to his worried disciples. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. Witnessing of God's eternal truths, giving hope to those who hear, hope shared. And then if we're speaking this way today, our tongues won't even witness so much about this church or that church or this pastor or that speaker. No, it's witnessing of the hope that God is working. It's witnessing of what God is doing. It's witnessing of the joy in the Savior and His love, His faithfulness. It's witnessing, yes, even of the hope that you have within yourself. And that can be shared in the church, but it can be shared beyond the church too. Because your workplace needs hope. Your school needs hope. Not hope of you or the next boss, but it needs hope, the eternal hope, the eternal perspective. And that's a blessing when it's shared properly. Sixthly, the healthy tongue is a loving tongue. Can anticipate, this is most clearly put in 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass, tinkling cymbals. What person wants to hear the clashing of cymbals every time you open your mouth? But how many of us speak without love sometimes? We aim to speak the truth. We might even go with good and right intentions, and yet we forget to speak the truth in love. Or alternatively, we go and we say really loving words, but we don't mean a thing of them. The loving tongue can also be described as a humble tongue, a soft tongue. It brings peace and love when there's disagreement and disunity and difference between people. This might mean speaking more kindly or respectfully to your family members. Children, maybe you need to speak more loving to your siblings or to your parents. Or parents to their children. It might mean speaking more kindly to your neighbors. But realize again that speaking in love is imitating the Master. Because how many times did Christ not speak lovingly to a sinner? And like we heard this morning, say, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." Loving tongue. The blessing of a loving tongue is that it helps others grow up. Paul says in Ephesians 4 that we ought to speak the truth in love, not to tear down the other person or to ruin their reputation, so that they might grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. The reason you're called to speak, to use your tongue in love, is that others would grow. That means there's no excuse for callous speech. Even saying, "Yeah, but it's true." Speaking the truth in love is to help others know and love their Savior more. So as one poet put it, a gracious word may smooth the way. A joyous word may light the day. A timely word may lessen stress. A loving word may heal and bless. Seventh, the healthy tongue is a truthful tongue. Proverbs 26 says, a lying tongue hates those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. today's culture, it's popular to deny even that truth exists. Certainly can't be known. And yet, the truthful tongue operates under a presupposition there is truth. There is foundational truth. And the authority then for this tongue is the revelation of God, the Word. So that even when people come and they accuse and they slander, it can be said, this isn't my word, this is the Word of God. Then we have nothing to be ashamed of for speaking the truth in love. Even when accused, Jesus could say, I spake openly to the world. In secret have I said nothing. Because people around him, so many of us too, we speak and in our speaking we're trying to whitewash the outside. But inside, we remain filthy. And so our tongue might try whitewashing by flattery, saying what we think others want to hear. But speaking untruths, because we don't mean them. And yet before we're too quick to condemn such a tongue, think about it for a moment. How many times do we speak without meaning the full implication of our words? We speak to show how religious we are. We speak to show how generous we are. We speak to show how wrong or foolish someone else is. We pray to impress. We say good morning and we don't mean it. Earlier, Proverbs said that one of the things the Lord hates is a lying tongue. The healthy tongue should want to speak honestly. Please the Lord by speaking honestly. Honestly about ourselves, honestly about our own struggles, honestly about our actions, honestly about our day. We speak honestly. The benefit or fruit of this truthful tongue is that it does not work ruin. Rather, it defends, it builds. It doesn't destroy, it doesn't tear down. No, it preserves and promotes and protects the truth that does exist and that it does matter. Eighthly, the healthy tongue is a wise tongue. Proverbs 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. In other words, a healthy tongue knows how to use the knowledge it has. It understands that, yes, even people need to be dealt with in a sensitive manner. And it's true, personality comes through our speech. But there are things that all people should do. We can all attract rather than antagonize. We can all invite rather than threaten. We can all share rather than condemn. We can all teach rather than criticize. Wise in how we deal with our knowledge. Consider even how Christ dealt with the rich young ruler. He knew this young man's heart. He knew the issue had to be addressed. But what did he say? He said, go sell everything that you have and then come back and follow me. In other words, he got to the heart of the issue, but he didn't do so by condemning or criticizing or letting this man run off in a tirade. No, go sell everything that you have and then come and follow me. Still wise and inviting. And our wise speech today has a lot to do even with timing. Because a wise tongue delivers honest speech at the appropriate moment. Something can be said one way and it comes across fine. It can be said exactly the same way in a different context and it comes across as mean or rude or hateful. So we need to be wise in the timing of our words. And a healthy tongue speaks wisely. It doesn't abuse knowledge. It doesn't blackmail. It doesn't engage in power struggle. It's respectful of the power of words. It respects the person who's being spoken to. That's why gossiping is so dangerous. Gossiping is not slander. Slander is always by definition false. Gossip can still be true information. But it's still wrong because it's intended to hurt and injure. It's given to inappropriate people at inappropriate moments. It's not using knowledge wisely. The blessing and fruit of using knowledge right and words wisely is, again, it makes the people glad. It brings stability. It brings joy. It slows the foolishness of mouths that are pouring out foolishness. We don't need more words in society. There's lots of people who can say lots of words. We need more wisdom. Ninth, the healthy tongue is a praying tongue. Turn back to the Psalms, Psalm 19. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Healthy tongue is dependent. Confesses it doesn't have the strength to be healthy on its own. It prays for continued strength. It prays for these other eight things. It confesses it needs forgiveness. Prays for redemption. A healthy tongue prays. This praying tongue is not one that depends purely on rote prayers or prayer beads or ritual praying at intervals throughout the day. We need to be careful with our rote prayers. We can use prayers like the Lord's Prayer. We can use written prayers. But we have to do it with our full minds, with full awareness, with consciousness of what we're saying and what we're praying as we pray these words. So that all of the words of our mouth and all the meditations of our heart would be acceptable. And then the tongue prays for and is dependent on the Spirit's ongoing work. And once that work is known and received, that tongue prays. And then, like the hymnist says, it's for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. The praying tongue doesn't just want one tongue to give a generic thanks. No, it wants 1,000 tongues to express gratitude for 1,000 details of your day, for 1,000 of the blessings you've seen and received. Wants to express it. Even with thanksgiving. So Paul says to the Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests. When we pray, are we praying with our minds? Are we praying with an awareness of what we've already received? As one person said, when you ask God for cake, thank Him first for bread. When you ask for victory over sin, offer thanks for previous deliverance. When you ask God for continued spiritual formation, thank Him for all the things He's changed in you already. When you ask Him for wisdom, thank Him for everything He's taught you already. And then what is the fruit or blessing of a praying tongue? Well, we considered that a few weeks ago. Pray for one another for the effective, fervent prayer, effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, has great power, and God blesses those prayers. You take these nine sounds. You can't just look at the list of nine and say, okay, there's one. I think I'm doing okay on that one. I must have a healthy tongue. No, these are all part of one package. You can't take just one. There are nine characteristics of one healthy tongue. This is what a healthy tongue looks like. This is how our tongues, our words, our mouths ought to glorify God. These nine sounds show what it is to keep the third commandment with our words. When is the last time that you thought about your tongues? I imagine most of us, before we came to church tonight, thought about, at least briefly, our hair, our teeth, our clothes. Some of us certainly thought of the need of our eyes and made sure we had our glasses or contacts. But yet, we never stop and think about our tongues. We never look in the mirror to examine our tongues. But I want you tonight to realize that God has given us, in His Word, a very big mirror, a special mirror. He holds up this mirror and He says, "How does your tongue look?" He explains this mirror in His Word and He asks, "Is your tongue like this? Is your tongue a healthy tongue that praises God?" The law comes to us in the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. This requires that all of your words glorify God. And you look into this mirror, and you have to ask yourself tonight, I have to ask myself, is my tongue a praying tongue? Is my tongue a wise tongue? Is my tongue a truthful tongue? Is my tongue a loving tongue? Is my tongue a witnessing tongue, a clean tongue, an appreciative tongue, a silent tongue, a worshiping tongue? I think we all realize very quickly, you look into this grand mirror and you realize you fail. You fail at keeping these nine sounds on your tongue. You fail at promoting these nine sounds. Rather, you choose other sounds instead of these nine. And we forget that when we do this, we are breaking the law. We are taking God's name in vain. We are misrepresenting Him. We are misrepresenting what it means to be a Christian. We're not glorifying Him as we're called to do. We're forgetting that the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. God will see every tongue. He'll see everyone without a healthy tongue as guilty, unrighteous. And the mirror is so big, and it's so vast, and it's so comprehensive. You take these nine things, there's no way around it. And yet, our text tonight, Proverbs 15, verse 4, says a wholesome tongue, a healthy tongue. Wholesome can mean healthy, restored, lacking disease. But when we consider this, it means that a healthy tongue is possible. It can exist. Your tongue doesn't have to be a diseased, rotting, guilty tongue. You look in the mirror of these nine things, and God's word says a healthy tongue, a wholesome tongue, is still possible. Where then? Where can this healthy tongue be found? There's one source. There's only one source where healthy tongues can be found. There's only one who can heal guilty and broken tongues. That's not anyone here. It's not anything that anyone here has done. It's not anything that anyone here has bought already. In the Old Testament, God said it's his word that provides this health. Proverbs 4. My son, attend to my words, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. God's word, when it's worked in us, is a supernatural work of God that results in healthy tongues. That's why David, in his psalm of confession and repentance, for dishonoring God, for murder, for adultery, says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Then I will teach transgressors. Deliver me from this blood guiltiness, and my tongue shall sing. There's an organic connection between changed hearts and healthy tongues. God's salvation brings healing, even to the most broken tongue. Isaiah says that when the salvation of the Lord shall come and God shall save, the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Jeremiah records the word of the Lord saying, I will heal, and then there will be a joy, voice of joy, and the voice of gladness, the voice of those who say, praise the Lord. He has healed. This healing is apparent also in the New Testament. We can look at the miracles and say, yes, they were just physical miracles. But when Christ touched the tongue of a mute man, the people were beyond measure astonished, saying, he has done everything, all things well. He makes the deaf to hear. He makes the dumb to speak. And he makes those who couldn't say anything break out into praise. And you see then, it's Jesus Christ, the living word who heals tongues. He's the one who makes healthy tongues. He's the one source that you need. And he does it still today. He still heals tongues. He does it through changing the hearts, changing the minds, changing the desires, changing the attitudes of those who bow before him. Where can you find that healing? Where can you find health for your sinful tongue? Flee to Jesus Christ. Everything he spoke was true. Everything he said was wise. Everything he said was loving. Everything he said was clean. Christ is the one who demonstrated this healthy tongue, and he did it purely. He did it perfectly. He did it for every day of his life. And he didn't just do it for himself. He did it so you would realize you need him, because you look into that mirror, you're guilty. You need his perfect righteousness. You need him to keep this commandment for you. You need his work, his righteousness. You have none of your own. You're guilty on all nine counts. And therefore, the prayer is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I thank you that Jesus came and was silent in order that he might bear the penalty of all my misuses of my tongue, of all my extra words, of all my wrong words. He has paid the penalty for sinful tongues. So much so that today, your broken tongue can still be forgiven, can still be healed, can still be made new, can still receive new sounds because of him. And then it's when we know this work, is when we know that change in our lives, when we know his grace, when we know his health, even on our tongues, that our tongues will glorify God. And these nine sounds then are not just a mirror, but they're the desire of our hearts, so that we would speak truth, we would speak lovingly, we would bless even through our tongues. And it's when we live that way that we enjoy him and glorify him forever. So tonight, pray for cleansing. Pray for continued healing. Pray for more consistency to your speech. Pray for more silence. Pray for more appreciation. Pray for more humility. Pray for more wisdom. Pray for more prayer. And then, not only will our wholesome tongues be a tree of life, not only will they bring blessing to others, but then we will one day experience God's tree of life, experience his full blessings. Statisticians say an average person speaks 16,000 words a day. That's enough to fill 54 pages of a book every day. And if someone recorded all your words in an average lifetime, it'd be over 7,000 books written by you. My question to you tonight is, would any of them be books of a healthy tongue? Books with healthy sounds. Books that bring blessing to others. Books that glorify God. Amen. Lord, we pray that thou would forgive us for all the misuse of our tongues. Forgive us for all the ways in which we do not bring glory to thee through our words. Lord, help us to see once again that it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ that we need. It's his perfect tongue that we need. It's His words. It's His sounds. And so we pray, gracious God, that Thou would fill all of Thy children with Thy Spirit so that their mouths, their tongues would be healthy and would bring blessing to others and would glorify Thee every day. And may many then hear and be glad. May many hear and realize that it is Thy work. It is Thy doing. It's a marvel in our eyes. We rejoice in it. Yet, we know it's because of Christ's righteousness. So, Lord, we pray that that would be imputed and imparted to us, even in this week. Pray that Thou would forgive the sins of worship today, that would go with us in all of our activities of this week, all the busyness, all the travels. Lord, be with each one. And please bring us together again next Sabbath for a day of worship. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.